हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। ओके सो देन वी आर ऑन चैतन्य चरितमृत मध्य Leela chapter 8 talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai, page 39. Devotional activities, however, sometimes appear to be impure in the neophyte stage, but in the mature stage they are completely pure or free from material activity. Therefore, Ramananda Rai replied after hearing the last statement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prema Bhakti Sarva Sadhya Sar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually accepted this verse, Jnane Prayasam, as the basic principle of perfection. One has to practice this principle in order to make further progress. When further progress is actually made, one comes to the platform of static loving service to the Lord. The first stage is technically called Sadhana Bhakti, or devotional service and practice. The result of sadhana bhakti must be a static love, attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is also called prema bhakti. In the neophyte stage, sadhana bhakti includes faith, association with devotees, practicing devotional service. Thus, one is freed from all unwanted things. One then becomes fixed in devotional service and increases his desire to act in devotional service. Thus one becomes attached to the service of the Lord and his devotional service. Udriti. So this is what is said here. Okay. Udriti. Thus the preliminary stage of culturing devotional service without any touch of speculative knowledge was accepted by Lord Chaitanya, who then asked Ramananda Rai to proceed further in developing the service sentiment to higher and higher stages of love of Godhead until the highest stage was reached. Every living entity has within his heart a dormant and eternal love of Godhead. Spiritual culture is the attempt to revive that eternal love of Godhead to its spontaneous stage. And the beginning of that attempt is reviving the transcendental message of Godhead from the right source, a self-realized soul. After receiving the transcendental message, this conception has to be developed to the spontaneous love of Godhead. Ramananda Rai describes the process in the following words. Okay, so then, okay, yes?
So Maharaj, just I want to clear. When we say Sri Ramananda Sambhada, so this is a book written by Srila Prabhupada.
Yes, I think back in the 50s.
Yes. Okay.
Like that. So it's, I think it's an unpublished book. So some devotees found it, and then somehow or another, no one had ever heard of it. So that devotee had published it on his own.
Okay. Yes.
Like that. But it's just taking this conversation between Lord Chaitanya.
Yes.
And Ramananda Rai, and it's just a book just on that. And just like in, you know, all the little small books that Prabhupada mm-hmm. wrote, they are books on, let's say, one chapter of Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, yes.
You know, each one's a different chapter in that.
Yes.
You know, something that he wanted to bring out and make important. So the Sri Ramananda Samvada is a book just on this conversation. While TLC... The Teachings
yes.
of Lord Chaitanya, that's a book on all five conversations.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. But this one was just on that one. So you see this, you know, some slightly different little details come out because every time you explain it, there's naturally going to be speaking something, and always something unique is coming up. You know, because you can discuss the philosophy forever, and every time you say something, it'll be unique. So then, you know, it's just an advantage here. We get to see three purports on this one point. So at least in this section, you have the other conversations, and we'll get two. We'll get the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, and we'll get the TLC purport.
Yes.
And then we have, you know, as Prabhupada's quoting from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and, you know, then sometimes others. So then it comes out very nice. So just one more thing to bring up before we move forward. So Ramananda Rai is pointing out that the perfection is this ecstatic love for the Supreme Lord, this natural spontaneous love, you know, this prema bhakti. So that's the essence. And Lord Chaitanya is accepting that. And he's also accepting this position that this is the position by which we're going to come to that is through sadhana bhakti. So in other words, sadhana bhakti that is free from karma and jnana. Means this intent is free from karma and jnana. Doesn't mean, like Prabhupada said, in the neophyte position, we might have some impurities from that, but it's in no way our intent or goal. It just may come up because of our previous, you know, samskaras and all that. But, you know, if you continue at that, as it becomes more mature, then all these things go away. You know, as Prabhupada is saying, is that, you know, when you go through the first stages, then anartha nivriti, then becomes free from this and then becomes fixed. The taste comes in the attachment, right? So naturally then that, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I think it's in Madhurya Kadambini. Then he's pointing out that when there's taste, then you naturally give up any attachments to the material things. And he's also bringing out the points that as you go up, then, you know, certain things are done. So many certain aspects of anartas are done. So you have the six levels of the anartas. So, you know, at one point, these parts are gone. At another point, this part is gone. You know, because when you're stable, then you're fixed in devotional service. So at least you're beginning with that fourth position in anartha nivriti. You know, and then in the middle, you're fixed, you're solidly performing devotional service, but it may not always be as stable as you'd like. Then in the sixth that comes up, it's very stable and all that, but you have to be careful to not get distracted by the material tastes, you know, the tarangarangini. But with ruchi, when you get a taste for the holy name, there's no interest in all these little waves of that come of benefit that come up from performing devotional service, right? When that taste is there. So, you know, it's just, it goes. So you see, as the more you go, the more this anartha nivriti is done. And so when there's attachment to Krishna, then, you know, basically there's nothing there. So when one comes to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, then it's said at that point, anartha nivriti, at least this aspect of it, you know, has been accomplished. There's still the fragrance is left. So one has to give up any idea that I am the great devotee or I am advanced in devotional service. These are the things that can distract you at the Uttama stage. You know, because you can think I'm an advanced devotee, I'm guru of devotees. You know, these have to be gotten rid of. Because otherwise, that's why it says, in the six symptoms of surrender, then that aspect of being meek and humble, you know, that's given up. And you always identify yourself as a servant of Krishna. So you don't think I'm a guru of devotees. Otherwise, these two can distract you. So you have to be careful. So the point being is that the path of pure devotional service can be practiced as a sadhaka. But the point of sadhana bhakti is it brings you to bhava bhakti and bhava to prema. So, but your purpose is that. So Srila Prabhupada gave us starting from this point. So these lower points aren't what he's given us. But it doesn't mean that those elements that are there, the varna ashram and those aren't performed, because as is mentioned, that in any position, you know, in any ashrama sotto status, they can live. Because surrendering fully body, mind, and words, that there are, so the mentality is that of sannyas. So it doesn't matter what ashram or varna you're in, that you're doing everything to please Krishna, then that makes it sannyas by the definition in the 18th chapter of Gita. I think it's 18.1 is making this point. So the whole thing is that there's a position that you're trying to please Krishna. Krishna has given the Vedas. The Vedas are recommending these things. So you're just doing it because it pleases Krishna. It's not your process. Varnashram is not your process. It's just part of what you're doing to please Krishna. Since you're working within the social environment, especially with a society of Krishna consciousness, if everybody is like on Tapaloka, that they all just sit in their ashrams. You know, and then they may come together in an assembly, talk, you know, about the absolute truth, all sitting around there in their kopans or nothing on like that. And when they finish the conversation, then by their, you know, yogic siddhis, they just, you know, go back to their ashram by, they don't necessarily have to walk. They just appear there because they have all the mystic siddhis. So in that kind of platform, you don't need to follow Varnashram because you're not in a social system. But when you're running a society, then you naturally have to have all these positions so that everything just mechanically works. It's just like when you go into the kitchen, then you make a plan who's cooking what and everything like this. Otherwise, if you just do it just by what everyone feels like, there may be a problem. I remember one time happened to be in New York at the time. And so I'd go and I'd work in the kitchen, and the Sunday feast was there. All the devotees who generally cook at the Sunday feast, you know, all the Maharatis and all that, they all came, you know, and that. And then, you know, someone says, oh, I'll cook this and I'll cook this and I'll cook that. And everyone, yeah, yeah, you know, I'll cook the halva, right? I'll cook the sweet rice, great. I'll cook the puris, yeah. I'll cook the pakoras, yeah. I cook the chutney, yeah. You know, I cook this, like I cook the, what do you call it? The, you know, the burfi or the this or the what do you call it? Those Bashan Ladus or the Simply Wonderfuls and all this and that. And then they cooked the whole feast. You know, everybody was working and all that. Then, you know, at the time of the offering, then they put everything on the plate. And at that time, they noticed they only cooked sweets. You know, they cooked the pakoras, of course. Again, you're not going to miss that. But they I mean, maybe they cooked, somebody cooked a paneer sabji. But there was no rice. There was not, it wasn't a complete feast. It's because everyone, hey, let's, you know. So that's why there's organization. So everything gets done, you know. So it just makes it go nicer for Krishna, you know, because that's how it works. So it's just that principle of appreciating that it's being done to please Krishna. Krishna is, so when it says he's pleased by someone following the Varnashram, because that's what he does. It's the natural position. It's not that the Varnashram itself is the devotional service. It's just that position pleases Krishna more than when someone doesn't use it. You know, it's just like when you do arti, you have a certain standard things, you use those. But it's not the peacock fan. That's the thing that pleases Krishna, and you do that with devotion, then that's nice. That you're wanting to do it because it pleases Krishna, then that's nice for Krishna. And then you try to do it. So that's why Krishna is saying, do your own duty, not someone else's. Right? Because if it didn't matter, we didn't have to worry about Varnashram, then it doesn't matter what duty. So why would Krishna say, do your own duty, don't do someone else's? Because Krishna does his duty, he doesn't do someone else's. When he's in Vrindavan, is he following the Varnashram duties and that of Navadvip? Or Navadvip, then, you know, he comes out of Jagannath Mishra's house and he gets a stick and he rounds up the cows? No. So that's the thing, is that it makes everything go clearly. It gives a distinction to things so you know what's happening. It's like if you know it's a meal, then you expect one thing. It's a meal at noon, it's one thing. It's a meal at night, it's another. If it's a snack, it's different. If So an afternoon snack is different from a morning snack. You know, and if you're going out on a picnic, then it's another thing. So it's just what you expect. You know, so that's the thing, is these, all these things have their flavor and all that. And so that's what's going on. So those earlier stages to say that, no, you don't follow, need to follow Varnashram, he's rejected it. No, he's rejected that. That's the process of self-realization. Self-realization is bhakti, is trying to please Krishna. And we're just situating ourselves in that way. Are we good on that? We've been grumpy about this enough. Yeah? Okay. Okay. 286970, because now he's mentioned about the sadhana bhakti and the platform of spontaneous love of Godhead. And so Ramananda, so Krishna said, okay, yes. Now please take it further, right? Ramananda Rai continued, as long as there is hunger and thirst within the stomach, varieties of food and drink make one feel very happy. Similarly, when the Lord is worshipped with pure love, the various activities performed in the course of that worship awaken transcendental bliss in the heart of the devotee. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lifetimes. It can be attained only by paying one price, that is, lalyam, intense greed to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So you have to want it. That's why one has to talk about it. Because if we're just taking, oh yeah, of course it's for that. How much do you want something like that? You know, it's just like, yeah, of course, you know, the family, you know, appreciates what I'm doing or this or that. But the point is you need to have an interest in that. You have to cultivate that. So the point is that about pure devotional service, that always has to be the forefront. So whatever you're doing, how does that help you pure devotional service? It's not enough that it's just good organization or I'm doing what I feel good doing or this or that. It has to be as its intent is to pure devotional service. That, so that intense greed to obtain it. So if it's available anywhere, you must purchase it without delay. So Prabhupada's talking about it, the acharyas are talking about it. Here we're seeing in the discussion between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, we want to know about this. We want to, how is this done? How is it gained? What does he want? Right. So that's then what can do. And that will then make things move quickly. Because it's desire. Because we're not technically the ones that are the doer of anything. We can take part. By Krishna's grace, it works out. But we're not the doer. So therefore, it's not that, oh, I did this, I'll get bhakti. No, it's that you want to please Krishna. You want to do things according to the way that Krishna says it should be done. And so having that enthusiasm to do it like that, that then makes it so move forward towards that. You know, it's just like, let's say there's something you really want. You always think about it. Just like, let's say you want excellence in, you know, a structure in the management. So you're always thinking about it. And so you strive for that. So why wouldn't it be the same way with pure devotional service? Because the one is just the way to express your service to Krishna. But there has to be a goal for rendering that service. Right? Otherwise, if it's just how to manage things really nicely, and that's your main focus, though you're doing it for Krishna, you're a devotee, you know, you're trying to follow things nicely for Krishna, but your focus is on that, then where do we find that you have devotees who are focused on managing things really nicely on behalf of Krishna? But at the same time, as you know, they can get distracted by a little bit by, you know, some politics or some other things, or you know, someone's doing better than them and that. Where do we find that in a devotional environment amongst devotees? Where is that? It's a standard thing in the universe. No? Doesn't ring any bells? It's called the demigods. What is Indra and all them trying to do? At the same time as, do they not worry? Aren't they not worried about? Aren't they worried about them being the supreme, you know, managerial authority? Isn't that Indra's worry? So we have to see the writing on the wall here, you know. That's why the focus has to be this intense greed, this lalyam. The acharyas always talk about it. It has to be how to gain pure devotional service. Then, of course, in your service, you want to do the best because it's for Krishna. You never not want to do the best. Because if it's for Krishna, why wouldn't you do the best? It means in the spiritual world, the mechanics and knowledge of things, how to do, they get the best results. Like Mother Jashoda and Rohini and the gopis, then they know the best techniques and the best way to cook things nicely for Krishna. Right? If Radharani never cooks the same thing twice, does that mean she never thinks about it? Just whatever she feels like when she walks into the kitchen today? You know, so the amount of knowledge and skill they have is immense. Is immense. Immense and stupendous. Immense. Or stupendous. Like that. You know what I'm saying? It's great. And so therefore they're doing, and why? Just to please Krishna. So these things come automatically with that. So if you have that, and you're supposed to serve Krishna, and we want to make something, you know, it's the mission of Lord Chaitanya that everybody becomes involved. Therefore, we want to arrange things that everybody can be involved. And so that means you're doing big stuff. And so that tanks connection is not very smooth. How are we on the dots?
Over this side, it's fine, Maharaj. I can hear you perfectly fine.
I'm in white.
Yes.
I'm not sure if it's politically correct to be in the white, but
I think it might be from Yugala pretty much his side.
Oh. Well, sorry. How's the sound? Is the sound full? Yeah, it sounds full.
Mm-hmm. Yugala pretty much, did you want to say something?
Move it back here. It's more in line with the thing. See the antennas over there exactly.
I think continue, March.
Okay. That means what are we on? Yeah, no, we're still on the regular. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, Maharaj, can we say if there is the intense greed to get pure devotional service, there is a good chance we have the right attitude after.
Yes, yes. And then
say that greed, lolyam, and attitude, there is a connection, no?
Yes, yes, because the attitude is to attain pure devotional service. Why? Because it's the most pleasing to Krishna. And how do we know that? Because that's what's recommended by the acharyas. Lord Chaitanya said it. He said so many things. Why is Krishnadas Kaviraj writing this down? Because this is important.
Yes.
That way then we know. And then the other acharya, Srila Prabhupada and the other acharyas are commenting on it. And then we know this is important. So these five conversations are very important. So they establish the sambandha of the Abhideya and the Prayojana. Right, so with Prakashananda Saraswati and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you remove everything outside of, you know, improper understandings outside of devotional service. Sanatana Goswami, then you properly establish, you know, devotional service and the whole process from sadhana to prem, and what's the tattva, what's the actual position. Oh, Rupa Goswami, then you learn the process, the Abhideya, and with Ramananda Rai, the Prayojana. Yeah?
Yes, nice. Thank you.
Yeah, so it's there. But it's not that you sit around and just, you know, read about the gopis and stuff, because the point is, no, you want that, and you're doing what's favorable. Your service is whatever it is. Then you're doing that, you know, very nicely, and you're thinking how to do it nicely for Krishna. But that mood always has to be there. It's about Krishna. Yes. Like that. So it may take a prominence in as time-wise. That's fine. But it's just that one has to see that that mind, it can't just be, oh, of course it's about that. But then, no, you have to make it prominent.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Srila Prabhupada, the previous two verses are included in Padyavali 13 and 14, an anthology compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami. Verse 69 refers to devotional service in faith. And verse 70 refers to devotional service rendered out of intense greed. The first is devotional service rendered in accordance with the regulative principles, and the second refers to spontaneous loving service to the Lord without extraneous endeavor. It means without extraneous, I don't think I, well, okay, let's, I have to get up early, I have to, you know, chant and do all that. You don't like that. You just spontaneously will you want to do that. Henceforth, forward, the basic principle underlying the talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai will be spontaneous loving service to the Lord, right? So the previous one, okay, okay, let's see, guys. Okay, so he's saying this first part is then the natural, how you say, performing the sadhana, but without, you know, without endeavor for karma jnan, right? Then you're going to have the second, is then spontaneous devotional service, right? Because that's the thing, is there's that greed, that that's, there's that interest in that. So it's just a matter of, the point is it's there. So when you, as long as there's an interest in it, then you keep doing all these things. So that variety of service, the variety of other things, then you're very absorbed in it because of that interest to perform them. You know, if you're always inspired to serve Krishna, then during your service, you'll be inspired. Yeah. So he's saying that from now on, we're just going to hear about spontaneous devotional service, and that'll get finer and finer. Right? The regulative principles according to the injunctions of the Shastras are necessary insofar as one's original dormant Krishna consciousness is not spontaneously awakened. Right. In other words, it's awakened that we're, endeavoring for it. But when it comes to the spontaneous platform, then you're going to do these activities because they're pleasing to Krishna. Right? Because sometimes the idea spontaneous means you just do whatever you want and this and that. So then somebody's being whimsical and then tries to pawn that off as something advanced. When it's actually is, no, all the things that Krishna says he likes, you're going to do those. So we know Krishna, there's Jiva Doya, Vaishnav Seva, and Nama Ruchi, and this is what we're engaged in. So then in the Jiva Doya, then how to preach, what areas, what kind of nature you have, what's available, who are the people around where I am, or things like this. And then one's going to be absorbed in those things. And you're going to try to do all those very nicely for Krishna. Right? So you don't have to, it's the same activities, but now you're doing it because you want to please Krishna rather than it's what I should do for self-realization. That's it. An example of spontaneous action is the flowing of rivers into the ocean. Nothing can stop this flow of water. Similarly, when one's dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened, it spontaneously flows to the lotus feet of Krishna without impediment. Whatever will be spoken henceforth by Ramananda Rai based on spontaneous love will be agreeable to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the Lord will ask him more and more about this subject, right? So he just wants to go deeper and deeper. Because you're giving the principle, then you're getting finer and deeper. Just like, you know, we're seeing with the spontaneous devotion, then you have the general principle of that, you know, that spontaneous love for Krishna, that spontaneous love for Krishna. So that would be in the Shravana Dasa aspect. Then we see is then there's a finer detail of that is then the how the residents of Vrindavan are acting. So that's going to be then a further. And then within that, then there's going to be the gopis with it, because there's the general of the gopis, their full surrender to Krishna. Then there's within that is the group serving Srimati Radharani. And then the highest of it all then is Srimati Radharani herself. So these are just finer and finer points. But if you don't have the point of spontaneous loving service, you don't have that full surrender of the Brajabasis, and then especially of the gopis, then the finer details of how Radharani serves and the others assist her, that won't really have any meaning. It means it's nice to listen to, but as a practice, it's not going to really get you much. You know? So it has to be appreciated that it's a descending process. So that principle is there. Then you have the fineness of the detail. Does that make sense? Yeah. Udriti, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 28. In these two verses, Ramananda Raya has described the regulative principles and developed love of Godhead. Respectively, Lord Chaitanya wanted to bring him to the stage of developed love of Godhead, and he wanted him to speak from that platform. So his asking questions, he was trying to get him to talk about love of Godhead, right? Because with the other acharyas, he's discussing different points. But with him, he wants to get on that, because if we're talking goal, you have to know that prema bhakti is the goal. And then within that, now we can go to finer and finer points. Thus, the discussion between Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya now proceed on the basis of love of Godhead. 2871. Hearing up to the point of spontaneous Lord, the Lord said, "This is all right. But if you know more, please tell me." Right? You know, this is good. Please tell. You know, the others, please go deeper. If you know more, please tell me more. You know, so how much he knows, he wants to hear. Because he hasn't met Ramananda Rai. So in the pastime, he won't know how much he knows. So he will add, how much do you, you know, he wants to take it to the limit of what he knows. Like that. In reply, Ramananda Rai said, "Spontaneously loving service and servitude as exchanged by master and servant is the highest perfection." Because that's the thing, is each position is the highest perfection. And then there's more. Right? Srila Prabhupada. Spontaneous loving service to the Lord is called devotional service, with an intimate attachment between the servitor and the served. This intimacy is called mamata. Right? So you're bringing out that point. Between the servitor and the served, there's a feeling of oneness, right? So that aspect of oneness, so that's the sense of, before we were using the term possession, that was being used in our previous discussions. You know, it was, I can't remember who was talking about it, but they were saying that sense of possession comes in. That's what makes the difference between the Shanta and the Dasya. So you see here, he went straight to Dasya, because the Shanta has already been covered technically. So, you know, being, you know, functioning on that Brahma-Bhuta platform, freed from all things, with a proper understanding of the Lord in devotion. So that in Firik, that was the highest that it got before. You know, and that was the top of the previous, but then he said take it further. So then he then explained how the devotee then goes beyond this, no karma, no gyan, like that. Because by that, when that matures, and there's that sense of mamata, you know, like that, then it turns into those rasas that are direct, interactive. Well, because Shanta is not interactive of such, it's not dynamic as such, because you're always absorbed and you're always appreciated like that. But at the same time, as you don't see that there's a specific activity, like we saw before, the Kumaras, you know, on top of Loka, they come together, discuss with the sages, they're all absorbed in those wonderful discussions. And when, you know, they've discussed for some time, they all go back to their places and continue their particular meditation, or, you know, whatever they do. So then in this position, then that sense takes it to a higher position. So this intimacy is mamata. That's from Dasya on up. So that's why you could say, well, why would he mention Dasya like that? Because you've introduced the element of mamata. It hasn't been introduced up to now. So that's the next thing. So that's why that's the next thing in the highest perfection. Right. Okay. This mamata begins with the dasya prema, service rendered to the master by the servant. Unless there's such a relationship, the loving affairs between the Lord and his devotee are not actually fixed. When the devotee feels the Lord is my master and renders service unto him, Krishna consciousness is awakened. This fixed consciousness is on a higher platform than simple cognizance of love of Godhead, because that'll be in what's in Shanta. Right? So it doesn't mean that one's not going up through these stages. Right? Just naturally in the progression, these things are coming along. So one has to know it keeps going. 2872, Ramananda Rai continued, a man becomes purified simply by hearing the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose lotus feet create the holy places of pilgrimage. Therefore, what remains to be attained by those who have become his servants? Right? All the holy places are created by the lotus feet of the Lord. So then he's saying, those who have come to the platform of serving the lotus feet of the Lord, you know, what's better than that? Srila Prabhupada. So you can see is that whatever platform you can on, you can always see that others are in an advanced, more advanced position. Right? Because you see what's unique and special about it, because there'll be something in Dasya that makes it stand out. And so that's very special. Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 9.5.16. So also the interesting part of this discussion is, instead of Ramananda Rai just talking, every time Lord Chaitanya asks a question, he quotes a verse. And then when he wants more, he quotes another verse. You know, or paraphrase something and then quote another, like he quoted from Brahma and this and that. He just keeps this. So that's why Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said he was a great scholar, and also, you know, especially in these things. And the Brahmins that were there, we saw in the beginning, they were thinking, he's such a great scholar and he's always so sober. Why is he acting like a madman with this other madman? You know? This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 9.5.16. And is an admission by the great sage Durvasa Muni. An admission, right? Because he thought yoga was the best. Then he found out, no, the bhakti yogis are the better yogis. Durvasa Muni, a caste brahmana and great yogi, used to hate Maharaj Ambarish. When he decided to chastise Ambarish Maharaj through his yogic powers, he was chased by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When things were settled, he said, when the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is heard by any person, that person is immediately sanctified. The Supreme Lord is master of the devotees, and the devotees under his shelter naturally come to his own opulences. Now, because he's thinking that here, this Maharaj Ambarish, so much facility, this and that as a king, how can he be an advanced devotee? Like that. But then he sees that, no, the opulences that these devotees are manifesting, like Yudhishthira, is because of their devotion. They're coming to the same platform, like the opulence of the Lord. And they're using it all in the Lord's service. So in Dwarka, it's very, very opulent. And they're using all that for Krishna. Because they're connected with Krishna, these things are there. So it's not that they've endeavored to get this wealth, and they're trying to enjoy it. By their service, this has come. Right? I mean, you look at Pandavas have nothing. I mean, literally nothing. It means that they have the, how you say, you know, in the West or in American English, thing he's, you know, all he has is the shirt on his back. I don't know if you have a saying like that locally. So they had was the deer skin on their back. That's it. You know, that's what they covered themselves with. They put it down on the floor. They slept on that. That was what they had. Then they got married to Draupadi. Then now suddenly, then they were given all nice royal facilities and that. Now they have this. Now they have, you know, it's one of the bigger countries, one of the more powerful countries. Because you saw Drupad himself came out and defeated the 100 brothers and Karna himself. Right? Like that. So they're worried about Arjuna and them. But he defeated them. Now Arjuna defeated him, Drupad. Right? So suddenly now they have Drupad and his whole facility. Then they go back to Hastinapur. Then after discussions, now they have half the kingdom. And then Krishna goes up there, and then Vishwakarma comes, and then they have a city. Right? Then they do Rajasuya sacrifice. So it just comes on its own. They're performing service, these things come. You know, this is the ultimate rags to riches, you know, story, you know. That Sudama Vipra, you know, Sudama Brahmana. Like that, you know. So that's the point, but it's coming because of, not because they're so clever and this and that, and they invested properly, or they caught the wave, or this and that, you know, or like, because it can't be that, because you see the Pandavas were never in a garage and discussing there how to make money. So it couldn't have been that. It has to be by bhakti. It comes. So that's the thing, is, you know, so the Supreme Lord, Master of the devotees, and the devotees under his shelter naturally come to his own opulences. The opulences of the Lord. So then he could see it's about devotional service. There's something beyond, because he was going by, he's a caste Brahmin, and so he's in a higher position. How can this king be higher? But the king's higher because of his bhakti. But socially, when they interact, he's going to be the Brahmin, and Ambarish Maharaj is going to be the Kshatriya. But as far as actually who's more advanced and who's higher as a yogi, it's Ambarish Maharaj, hands down. No? 2873 to 74.
So, Maharaj, this indicates that a devotee doesn't have to work like an ass to make a living.
No, he's attached to working for Krishna. And then, because, you know, he has a family, has to maintain, then he follows his varnashram duties that go with it. But he doesn't put any more effort into it than need be. And then whatever comes, because you can go to work and have this much. Someone else goes to work the same amount of time and has 10 times, 100 times, thousands of times. Means what do you call it? You ever seen the Amazon guy? Guy can't even dress properly. Like, he's sitting around in a sweatsuit or something like that. You know, he doesn't need to leave his house. And then he's making $1 billion.
Yes.
You know, other people are sitting around their house in a sweatsuit and they're not making that kind of money. I mean, I don't want to shock you, but it's true. They don't make that kind of money. So it's not that go out, buy yourself a sweatsuit and sit in your house and, you know, make money. It's that for the same amount of time, because there's 24 hours in a day, he can't work more than 24. Right? And you know he's going to be sleeping in that, because, you know, the more, how you say, these more younger guys, they're all into, you see all these talk, they're all into their 8 hours of sleep. They're not going to miss out on their sleep. You know, previous generations, you know, they'll sleep 4 hours, 6 hours and stuff like that to make more money. But these, you know, these younger guys, these millennials and all these guys, they won't do that. They're going to get their 8 hours. They enjoy their sleep. You know, so that leaves only 16 hours a day. You know, and they'll, you know, they'll think a lot, but work, you know, and do, and so like that. And he makes $1 billion. Somebody else in the same amount of time makes, you know, hundreds of millions. Someone else in the same amount of time makes tens of millions. Someone else a million. Someone hundreds of thousands. Some tens of thousands. Some's a thousand. Some a hundred. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that this idea is that I'll work more, I'll get more. Not really, because what comes for your work, that's what's going to come. You perform your work, you depend upon the Lord. And because that result is up to Krishna and it's for Krishna.
Yes.
So you do your best, but then this is, you don't take more time out of your sadhana or family or this or that to do more work, because you're not going to get any more.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know? And all that making money, just heard today that it doesn't necessarily mean that anything else in your life goes great. He's known for having a lot of money. But his wife, who, you know, they just had a divorce last year, she's the richest woman in the world.
Yes.
And what did she do? Right? According to him, he worked hard. She's just smart.
Yes.
So therefore, she didn't even do that work, and she's the richest woman in the world. And that means you're pretty rich. You know, so the whole thing is that, you know, and we can see is that if he was divorced last year, it means business was going great, but that means his family life was not. So then what's the point? He's got $1 billion, and then? Now what? No spiritual life, no, you know, no personal life, then, you know. Then what's the meaning? So that's the whole thing, is you don't sacrifice that. You put in what you can, but you don't sacrifice that.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you.
Okay. 2873-74. Ramananda Rai continued, by serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires and is completely pacified. When shall I engage as your permanent eternal servant and always feel joy to have such a perfect master? Footnote 8. This is a statement made by the great saintly devotee Yamunacharya in his Stotra Ratna. In his Stotra Ratna. Okay. Yes. Hearing this from Ramananda Rai, the Lord again requested him to go a step further. In reply, you know, he doesn't say, oh, no, that's not the Alpha. He just says, please take it further. In reply, Ramananda Rai said, loving service to Krishna rendered in fraternity is the highest perfection. Srila Prabhupada. As long as loving service is rendered to the Lord in the master-servant relationship, there is some fear, for the servant is always afraid of the master, despite the intimacy of self-interest. Right? So they have that sense of mamata, and they have that sense of trying to benefit and all that, the Lord, you know? But still, there's that element of a fear because of the greatness of that. In this stage, the servant is always afraid of the master and respectful of him. When the devotee is further advanced, he has nothing to fear. Like we saw, like the cowherd boys. They consider themselves on an equal level with the Lord. So they're never afraid of him. So that's something that's very unique. Right? So, you know, as the acharyas were pointing out, nectar devotion, that this platform is very unique. It stands out from all the other rasas. The only other rasa that has this exact same kind of principle is the conjugal rasa. There's just no fear like that. He considers the Lord and himself on an equal level. At such time, the devotee is fully convinced that Lord Krishna is a friend and cannot at all be dissatisfied. The devotee lives with him on an equal level. So he never thinks that by being equal, the Lord will be unhappy. He always thinks that this is, you know, this is the way, this is the perfection. So he always sees him on an equal level. And because of that, then he's always rendering service in that way. You know, having confidential talks or challenging to a fight or giving him some good instruction or rendering some personal service and all that, you know, but on that as equals like that. This understanding is called Vishramba, that is devoid of a respectful attitude. When this attitude is chosen, it becomes Sakya Prema or love of Godhead and friendship. On this stage, there's developed consciousness of equality between the Lord and the devotee. 2875, Ramananda Rai quoted, neither those engaged in self-realization of appreciating the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, nor those engaged in devotional service while accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as master, nor those under the clutches of Maya, thinking the Lord an ordinary person, can understand that certain exalted personalities, after accumulating volumes of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord in friendship as cowherd boys. Srila Prabhupada, this is a statement made by Sukadeva Goswami, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.12.11, who appreciated the good fortune of the cowherd boys who played with Krishna and ate with him on the banks of Jamuna. Right, because they have things in the lunch, they taste it's nice, they want to give some to Krishna. Right, so it's not that, oh, Krishna, you taste first, then only I'll eat and everything. Like, they don't have that. They're all sitting down and they're all eating. And if something's really good, they go, wow, hey, Krishna, have a bite of this. You know, like that. 2876. The Lord said, this statement is very good. Right, so now he said a little bit more, right? Because otherwise he said, that's all right. Please take it. He says, this is very good. But please proceed even further. Ramananda Rai then replied, loving service to the Lord in the parental relationship is the highest perfectional stage. So you see, it's also just the taste of going up and appreciating all the devotees and the uniqueness that comes in at every stage. So we've had appreciating of him as the supreme absolute truth, right? And you know, and that understanding is free from any karma or jnana. We've come to that platform. And so just rendering that pure devotional service. Then we've come to introduce the point of mamata. Then we introduce the element of Vishramba, you know, is that being on an equal level, or there's no fear, you know, because of a junior or senior, that kind of aspect. And so so just to say, just jump. That's what Prabhupada said. You don't just jump like that. It's that there's a natural progression. And so therefore you see, as it comes up, you see it, you appreciate it like that. And so that's the point. Devotees can appreciate these positions. Srila Prabhupada, the stage of loving service to the Lord in parental affection is an advanced stage of love in fraternity. In the fraternity relationship, there's a sense of equality. But when that sense of equality is advanced in affection, one attains a platform of parental love. So he sees now the affection increases more. So the coward boys, you know, they have that affection. They see that equality, that Vishramba aspect is there. So the moment of the Vishramba is there. But when the sense of affection is more advanced, then it takes on the parental. Right? In this connection, the following verse is cited from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:8:46, wherein Prickit Maharaj voices his appreciation of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jashoda's intense love for Krishna. 2:8:77-78. So this is that verse. Ramananda Rai continued, O Brahmana, what pious activities did Nanda Maharaj perform by which he received the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as his son? And what pious activities did Mother Jashoda perform that made the Absolute Supreme Personality of Godhead call her mother and suck her breasts? The favor Mother Jashoda attained from Sri Krishna, the bestower of liberation, was never obtained even by Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, nor even by the Goddess of Fortune, who always remains on the chest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada. This is a statement of Srimad Bhagavatam 10:9:20. Krishna agreed to be bound by Mother Jashoda after she had given up trying to bind Krishna with ropes. This is another appreciation made by Sukadeva Goswami in his narration of the pastimes of Krishna before Maharaj Parikit. Okay, so that first one was then, you know, the 10:8:46. And then the second one is about, this was never, what Mother Jashoda attained was never obtained by anybody else. So that's 9:10:9:2. You know, so that's the Damodar pastime. Here, they're controlling the universe, destroying the universe, controlling all the living entities. But they can't tie up Krishna, you know, like that. 2:8:79. The Lord said, your statements are certainly getting better and better, one after another. But surpassing all of them is another transcendental mellow, and you can speak of that as the most sublime. Right? So now he's ready to talk about the conjugal love. So he said, it's all getting better and better. You've introduced all these things, but now you can talk about this, because he's gotten up to fraternity. So he's encouraging him. Now, this, you know, because he's already speaking so many verses about the parental. So he's saying, now move, you know, to the next level. Ramananda Rai then replied, conjugal attachment for Krishna is the topmost position in love of God. So each of the ones before is the highest perfectional stage, you know, and the before with the cowherd boys, the highest perfection. Highest perfection, highest perfectional stage, you know, and what was the one, is the highest perfection, yeah. But now he's saying, is the topmost position in love of Godhead. So they're all perfect, but this is the most perfect. Srila Prabhupada. In general, love of Godhead is devoid of the intimacy of ownership. In the case of love in servitude, there's a want of confidence. Right? So there is the mamata, the sense of that possession, but it doesn't have the intimacy. Right? And, you know, so there's one, it doesn't have that confidential aspect. There's a one of increased affection in the fraternal relationship, right? So they have, but they don't have that increased relationship. And even when this affection increases in the parental relationship, there is nonetheless a want of complete freedom, right? Because you work within a certain kind of function. However, when one becomes a conjugal lover of Krishna, everything lacking in the other relationships is completely manifest. Love of Godhead lacks nothing in the conjugal stage. So they're already perfect, but there's more that could be added. Does that make sense? More could be added. And so when you have the addition, you know, say here's the intimacy like that, you know, it means in general love of Godhead, that so that the Shanta. Then we have, so it doesn't have the ownership. Then intimacy of ownership. Then you add confidence. Then you add increased affection. Right? Then you add in the complete freedom. So you can see is everything that everyone's jumping up and down nowadays about, you know, on the political platform, that's all included in this conjugal relationship. But this is all about serving Krishna and pleasing Krishna. And the other stuff, that's just garbage. Right? However, when one becomes a conjugal lover of Krishna, everything lacking in the other relationships is completely manifest. Love of Godhead lacks nothing in the conjugal stage. The summary of this verse is that parental love of Godhead is certainly higher than fraternal love, and that conjugal love is higher yet. It was when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Ramananda Roy to go further that he came to the point of the conjugal relationship. So what are we looking at here? Because we're generally looking at it as a prestige thing, but what is Lord Chaitanya looking at it? It's a matter of the fullness of the interaction. The intensity of the interaction. As you go up in the rasas, it becomes greater and greater. So that's why it's said that when these other, the other acharyas, when they were revealing things, then they left something out like that. I think it's, was it in here? Bhaktivinoda Thakur is yes, here. Okay. Seeing a need to hide pranava, the seat of the Vedas, because it proclaims pure devotion, Shankaracharya took these other statements of the essence of the Vedas. You know, his ones, Aham Brahmasmi, Pragyanam Brahma, Tattvamasi, and Ekam Eva Advitiyam. Right? You know, all about I am God. You know, you're God, we're all God, you know, like that. So because he's dealing with Buddhists and trying to bring them over to, oh, that was your hand, because I put my hand like that. Okay, I don't put my hand over there. Okay, because he's trying to bring the Buddhists from no consciousness into consciousness, accepting eternal consciousness. But at the same time, as there is the getting rid of everything material, stopping all activities, and then merging. But you're merging in Brahman, so you're merging in the ultimate consciousness, rather than just you're getting rid of consciousness, and because you're like you go into deep sleep like that, then there's no problem, so you're happy, supposedly. Right? So that's why then he avoided pranava. Because pranava then is showing pure devotional service, because it's Krishna. Right? So he preached exclusive monism, right? He taught that the condition jiva is simply an illusion produced by Maya, and that Brahman is subject to Maya, and the liberation of the jiva is the absence of Maya. Right? Because Brahman's covered by Maya, then you get the jiva gets rid of the Maya, they become Brahman, Haribol. That's his idea. By this philosophy, the pure relationship of jiva with the supreme Brahman becomes hidden. So the relationship becomes hidden, right? So that's the problem that's there, because the actual relationship with the jiva and the Lord is hidden, because you don't accept that they actually have, that there's a difference there. The import of the Vedas has not been considered. Thus, Madhvacharya took other Vedic statements and established an opposing philosophy, Dvaitavad. Right, so he's showing there is a relationship, because there's two, So he brings that into. The one is he got them into the consciousness, but then there's no differentiation. Then he brings out Madhvacharya, that there's two, right? However, because he did not consider all the Vedic statements, because he's not dealing with, he's only dealing with Dwait. He's not dealing with any of the Advait aspects. The full relation of the Jiva to the Lord was not revealed. Ramanujacharya as well, in his Vishishta Dwait philosophy, did not show the complete relationship. Like, they show other aspects in all this. Nimbarka Swami, propounder of Dwait Advait, also preached the doctrine incomplete in some aspects. Vishnu Swami also, in his Shuddha Dwaita doctrine, left some ambiguity. In order to establish the eternal nature of prema, Mahaprabhu gave pure, complete teachings about the relationship of Jiva with the Lord through the doctrine of Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva, and in this way delivered the world from the darkness of mental speculation. Right? So this principle is that they're introducing something more, bringing it up, trying to take people forward. Then that's just the natural position. So we see here is that in this, that each time you add the relationship, there's something more is added. That's why it becomes something different. So you have the same thing, love of God, the generic. When you add mamata, then it takes on servitude, right? Because there's that, now there's that dynamic relation. When you add in vishramba, you know that there's no, that servitude, but there's no feeling of reverence. So there's that equality, then it takes it to the next level. But then when you add in the deepness of affection, that takes it to the next level. Then you bring it to the conjugal, then you add in that complete freedom. Then it becomes fully, rasa then can be fully manifest without any kind of, anything lacking, right? Udriti, Sri Ramananda Samvad. The process of developing a transcendental relationship with Godhead is understood gradually. By simply accepting the glories of the personality of Godhead and establishing service to him in the transcendental rasa of calmness, Shanta Prema, the sentiment of love for Godhead as one's personal master is not developed. Shanta Prema is a stage of peaceful appreciation of the glories of the supreme, of the personality of Godhead. And Dasya Prema, or transcendental servitude to Godhead, a sense of intimacy with Godhead is not developed, right? So, but there's the sense of possession, that mamata. In both the Shakya Prema, transcendental friendship with Godhead, and Vatsalya Prema, parental affection, the sense of unrestricted approach for loving service is not developed, right? Unrestricted approach, because there's certain things and certain times and this and that, you know. Shanta Prema is the stage. Oh, wait a minute, we already read that. As such, the complete perfection of transcendental relationships is not found. The fullness of service, unchecked by all conventional restrictions, is only developed in Madhurya Prema, transcendental loving service and conjugal love. Like you see, when he's with Mother Yashoda, she's doing her service. When he's with cowboys, he's with them. Like that. But you see, as even he's with all these others, then Haribo, also all the way this way and that way. Oh, he did. Okay, thank you. So, but at all times, in all places, in all circumstances, the conjugal element is going on. Maybe in a subtle, hidden way and all that. Mother Yashoda can speak very freely, but only within her environment. But the coward boys, you know, they have to be careful in Mother Yashoda's environment, you know. But they can still talk. They might lean over. They might whisper. You know, they might joke a little bit. But as long as it's cultured enough, then Mother Yashoda won't get bent out of shape. But within that same environment, the conjugal element is being cultivated. Right? The cowherd boys, and Krishna goes out with the cowherd girls. You know, these elements are there. Let's see if that makes sense. Okay. Can you hear us? Yeah? Can you hear now?
No. Well, we can, no. But it's very low. It's not switched over.
Oh boy. Why is it, why doesn't it? Okay. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, now it's better.
No, it's just sometimes you put in the other earphone and it doesn't connect. It decides
just
to
every now and again.
Take its time. Yeah. Okay. But you see, then the gopis are always, they're arranging their meetings, they're arranging these and that. So it's something that's unrestricted. Even though externally there's no facility for it, they still find a way to interact. So that's the meaning of the freedom that's there. You know, you don't see them, but they're, you could say there's the most hidden of all of them, but they have the freedom to always apply it, because that's where you know, how it says, there's a term, something like double entendre or something, or you know the term, what I'm talking about? It means that it has a double meaning. You know? You're saying one thing and something else is being made, is pointed out.
It's a double entendre.
Double entendre, yeah, that's it. So there, then all those things are like that. So they that's what they're using. Everybody else is speaking straightforward, or they may be saying it poetic, you know, like they're, you know, they're talking about the fighting that they're going to have and about the clouds and the thunder and all these things like that. But it's you know what they're talking about. But with the gopis, they say stuff you don't even know what they're talking about. So it has that freedom that at times, all places, circumstances, they're absorbed in it. Like that. It takes it, so that's the point, it takes it to the highest perfectional stage. Okay. It's unchecked by conventional restrictions. Like Mother Jashoda just does her stuff. Coward boys do their stuff. It's time to go to bed. Right? The coward boy's day with Krishna ends because it's time to go to bed. Right? Krishna has to go to bed. Mother Jashoda, after that's not, she's not sitting in his room when he's sleeping and just, I wanted to watch you sleep and stuff like that. He's not doing that. But then you see the gopis, they get up and go out at night. Right? You know, and they're going, you know, the others are following all their duties. The coward boys are going out. They're spending the day with Krishna because that's their occupation. Right? So they get to go out like that. And some come in the morning and evening and hang out with Krishna also because they're being the friends. But it still has to fit into, you know, Mother Jashoda's rule book. But the gopis, they're walking out on their families and going out in the middle of the night. And, you know, girls don't like to go out on their own at night. You know, when it's dark, and you know, it's not like they're going down this nice road that has lights on the side and there's places to sit down and there's a few bathrooms here and there and a couple of mirrors so they can check their makeup and stuff like that. Maybe a few shops on the way also, you know, buy a few things before they, you know, meet Krishna. No, it's just a forest. So that's the whole thing, is that what they're meaning here. All unchecked by all conventional restrictions.
So Maharaj, can we say that the gopi, they are the devotees that we are sleeping the less in all the five rasa?
Good chance. Good chance. You know. At least as far as we understand.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thus, on the order of Lord Chaitanya, of course, they do get complaints from their family members that they're lazy and they're sleeping in the morning and not doing any work and stuff like that. But that's because of their love for Krishna. They're so absorbed in love for Krishna that they're not doing any of these things. Thus, on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya, Ramananda Rai began to explain the nature of Madhurya Prema. Ramananda quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam when Uddhava spoke of the fortune of Krishna's cowherd girlfriends, who melted away in ecstasy when they heard Uddhava describe the activities of Sri Krishna. 2880. Ramananda Rai quoted, when Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Rasa Lila, the gopis were embraced around the neck by the Lord's arms. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or the other consorts in the spiritual world. Nor was such a thing ever imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets. Girls whose bodily luster and aroma resemble the beauty and fragrance of lotus flowers. And what to speak of worldly women who may be very, very beautiful according to material estimation. Srila Prabhupada. This verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-60, was spoken by Uddhava when he visited Sri Vrindavan to deliver a message from Krishna to the gopis. Uddhava remained in Vrindavan to observe the activities of the gopis there. When he saw the ecstatic love for Krishna and separation manifested by the gopis, he appreciated their supreme love and therefore expressed his feelings in this verse. He admitted that the fortune of the gopis could not be compared even to the fortune of the goddess of fortune, to say nothing of the beautiful girls in the heavenly planets. 2881, right? Because in the heavenly planets, then, you know, so much nice facility is there. But then here, then this is even greater. It's greater than what Lakshmi has. It's greater than what we see in Dwarka. It's 2881, Ramananda Rai quoted, suddenly, due to their feelings of separation, Lord Krishna appeared among the gopis dressed in yellow garments and wearing a flower garland. His lotus face was smiling and he was directly attracting the mind of Cupid, Srila Prabhupada. This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:32-2. When the rasa dance was going on, Krishna suddenly disappeared. And the gopis became so overwhelmed due to a separation and their intense love for him that Krishna was obliged to appear again. The devotion is so great, he can't stay away. He has to come. But by doing this, then it increased the taste. In other words, there was a taste there, but it hadn't come to its perfection. So then by leaving, then it increases the intensity. Then when it comes back, now the focus and everything would be even much greater. 2882-83. Ramananda Rai continued, there are various means and processes by which one may attain the favor of Lord Krishna. All those transcendental processes will be studied from the viewpoint of comparative importance. It is true that whatever relationship a particular devotee has with the Lord is the best for him. Still, when we study all the different methods from a neutral position, we can understand that there are higher and lower degrees of love. But so, for the individual devotee, wherever they are, that's perfect. But it's still, from a neutral point, you can analyze that, yes, there's a difference here. That's why you see sometimes that they're all the same and that they're all pleasing Krishna. And so we don't have to make a distinction, one's higher, one's lower. But at the same time, as if you're comparing from the neutral state, means in other words, from the personal, the particular devotee's position of love, it's perfect. There is no better. But at the same time, as if you're looking at just the from studying the different methods, then you see there's higher and lower. But that's all within perfection, right? Srila Prabhupada. In this regard, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that this verse trying to get more light here. In this regard, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that this verse does not advocate the whimsical invention of some methods of love of Godhead. Such inventions cannot be accepted as topmost. Indeed, such concoctions are not recommended in these verses. Srila Rupa Goswami has said in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.101, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidim Vina Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir Utpatayaya Kalpate. He clearly mentions in this verse that one must refer to the Vedic literatures and other supplementary literatures and follow the conclusions of the Veda. An invented devotional attitude simply creates disturbances in the transcendental realm. If a person overly addicted to family life takes to Srimad Bhagavatam or Krishna consciousness to earn a livelihood, his activity is certainly offensive. One should not become a caste guru and sell mantras for the benefit of mundane customers. nor should one make disciples for a livelihood. All these activities are offensive. One should not make a livelihood by forming a professional band to carry out congregational chanting. Nor should one perform devotional service to the one is attached to mundane society, friendship, and love. Nor should one be dependent on so-called social etiquette. All of this is mental speculation. None of these things can be compared to unalloyed devotional service. No one can compare unalloyed devotional service, Krishna consciousness, to mundane activities. There are many unauthorized parties pretending to belong to the Sri Chaitanya cult, and some are known as Aul, Baul, Kartabaja, Neda, Dadavesha, Shani, Sahajya, Shaki Beki, Smarta, Jata Gosai, Ativadi, Chudadari, and Gauranga Nagari. And some are known as, means there's more. But these are the prominent ones. Like that. Yeah. Moreover, there are those who take the caste Goswami's opinion of such parties as bona fide. Comparing these opinions to those of the six Goswamis headed by Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatana. This is simply another cheating process. There are also non-devotees who compose unauthorized songs, who establish different temples for money, who worship the deity as priests for salaries, who accept caste Brahmanism as all in all, and who do not know the value of pure Vaishnava, of a pure Vaishnava. Actually, the caste Brahmanas of the Smarta community are opposed to the principles of the Sattvata Pancharatra, because it's just about Vishnu and pure surrender to Vishnu. Furthermore, there are many Mayavadis and those overly addicted to material sense enjoyment. None of these can be compared to a person who is purely engaged in preaching Krishna consciousness. Every Krishna conscious person is constantly endeavoring to utilize different transcendental devices in the service of the Lord. Right? So different transcendental devices. So all these different ways of trying to please Krishna. Such a devotee renounces all material enjoyment and completely dedicates himself to the service of the spiritual master and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He may be a perfect celibate, a restrained householder, a regulated vanaprastha, or a tridandi sannyasi in the renounced order. It doesn't matter, right? Notice in here he gives the essence of each one. Perfect celibate, so that's the brahmachari, a restrained householder because he's regulating his life, you know, and stuff like that. Restrained because he could do so much, but he's not. The vanaprastha reduced it down to a simple, but it's regulated. It's not that he just made it simple and then it's whimsical. No, it's regulated because that's how I'll move forward. Or a tridandi sannyasi, right? So tridandi sannyasi means, tridandi means body, mind, and words engaged in the Lord's service. It doesn't matter. It means any of these positions will work. The pseudo-transcendentalists and the pure devotees cannot be compared. Nor can one argue that a person can invent his own way of worship, right? So when people do that, you can't take them seriously. You just add them onto the list, you know. The purport in presenting this verse necessitates explaining the comparative positions of the transcendentalists known as Shanta, Dasya, Shakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. All these rasas or mellows are situated on the transcendental platform. Pure devotees take shelter of one of them and thus progress in spiritual life. Actually, one can take shelter of such spiritual mellows only when one is completely uncontaminated by material attachment, meaning taking shelter. We may have an appreciation, and so therefore we are trying to move in a particular direction, but you can't actually take shelter of it, because shelter means then you become ashrad. That means then you have to have that affection for Krishna as the vishad. Right. When one is completely free from material attachment, the feelings of the transcendental mellows are awakened in the heart of the devotee. That is Sarup Siddhi, the perfection of one's eternal relationship with the Lord. So it's not having a spiritual form. It's when these feelings are awakened in the heart of the devotee. That's Sarup Siddhi. They just take it, they already have it, so I just get a form that I can work within. So it's just they're making up their own system. Swarup Siddhi, the eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, may be situated in any one of the transcendental mellows. Each and every one of them is as perfect as the others, right? So that's the point. They're all perfect. So perfection means they're on the transcendental platform. So they're all perfect. They're all on the one is not more transcendental than the other. They're all the same level of transcendental. But by comparative study, an unbiased person can realize that the mellow of servitorship is better than the mellow of neutrality, right? Because it adds more. There's something more complete about it. That the mellow of fraternity is better than the mellow of servitorship, and the parental mellow is better than that of fraternity. And that above all other mellows is the mellow of conjugal rasa, love. However, these are all spiritually situated on the same platform because all these relationships of perfect love are based on a central point, Krishna, right? So because they're all about Krishna, that's why they're all equal. But at the same time, we see is the intensity and the intimacy gets greater and greater as it goes up. So that's the thing that's being brought here. So, you know, as we mentioned before, whenever you have, you know, you're beginning a particular study and all that before a longer serious study, there's always that first opening course that you learn, you know, to be able to appreciate the whole rest of the course, like an introductory course. And that course is always called 101. No? In the university, it's not 101? Yeah. So this is verse 1-101. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidim Vina Aikantiki Harir Bhaktir Utpatayaiva Kalpate. You start with this understanding. Now you approach all the rasas. Right? But if you don't understand this, you won't actually catch. 2.8.84.88. So we see this idea of the most, that essential basic point, this 101 is coming here. We see from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So many times this comes up, right? 2.8.84.88. Ramananda Rai continued, increasing love is experienced in various tastes, one above another, but that love which has the highest taste in the gradual succession of desires manifests itself in the form of conjugal love. Footnote 9. This verse is from Sri Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha 2.5.38. It also appears in Adi Lila, chapter 4, verse 45. There is a gradual order of improvement in transcendental mellows from the initial ones to the latter ones. In each subsequent mellow, the qualities of the previous mellow are manifested, counting from 2, then 3, then up to the point of 5 complete qualities. Just like when you're going in the other way, in the material creation, ether has its particular sound. Then when you add air, there's sound and touch. Then when you add fire, there's sound, touch, form. Then when you add water, sound, touch, form, taste. Then when you add earth, sound, touch, form, taste, smell. Right? So earth has all 5. So we're saying the conjugal rasa, as you add, the shanta rasa has that fundament, that basic. Then when you add dasya, it has that one plus the mamata. Then when you add in the sakya, then it has the vishramba. It has the mamata and the that love of Godhead. Right, that pure essence. Then when you add into it has the further attachment that's there, but then when you add in the conjugal, it has all those 4 plus freedom. Right. In each subsequent mellow, the qualities of the previous mellow are manifested, counting from 2, then 3, and up to the point of 5 complete qualities. As the qualities increase, so the taste also increases in each and every mellow. Therefore, the qualities found in Shantaras, Dasiras, Shakiras, Vatsayaras are all manifested in conjugal love, Madhuryaras. Oh, here. The qualities in the material elements, sky, air, fire, water, and earth, increase one after another by a gradual process of 1, 2, 3, and at the last stage in the element earth, all 5 qualities are completely visible. Complete attachment of the lotus feet, attainment of the lotus feet of Krishna, is made possible by love of Godhead. Specifically Madhurya Rasa, or conjugal love. Lord Krishna is indeed captivated by this standard of love. This is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada. To explain the topmost quality of conjugal love, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives the example of the material elements, sky, air, fire, water, and earth. In the sky, space, there's the quality of sound. Similarly, in the air, there are qualities of sound and touch. In fire, there are three qualities, sound, touch, and form. In water, there are four qualities, sound, touch, form, and taste. Finally, in earth, there are all five qualities, sound, touch, form, taste, and also smell. Now one can see that the quality of sky is in all, namely in air, fire, water, and earth. In earth, we can find all the qualities of the material nature. So we see is that the first one is in all. So that pure love for Krishna, that appreciation, that's in all of them. Right? And so then the next one up, that's in the next ones that are up. Then that's in the next ones that are up. So nothing's like, you're just adding more. So it's not that it's going from one position one to position two, and now you're not in position one. When you go to two, it includes one and two. Right? You got two ones, then you get a two. Right? Then you add it, then you move it forward another one, you know, then you have three ones. Does that make sense? So in this process, it's just adding ones, no zeros. The same can be applied in the rasa known as maturya rasa, or conjugal love. In conjugal love, there are the qualities of neutrality, servitorship, fraternity, and parental affection, as well as those of conjugal love itself. The conclusion is that through conjugal love, the Lord is completely satisfied. Right? So all these have their wonderful taste, but they have their position in the connection with the conjugal love. So in other words, braja, with all the, you know, the parents are there, the cowherd boys, the servants, the cows, all that is to support the love between Radha and Krishna. That's its whole point. It gives the nice environment and background in which all the different aspects and angles, can be unlimitedly tasted eternally. Conjugal love, Madhurya Rasa, is also known as Shringara Rasa. It is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam that in the complete combination of loving service to the Lord, namely in conjugal love, the Supreme Lord fully agrees to be under the control of the devotee. Right? Because in all of them, he's being controlled, but in here, he's completely under the control. The highest form of conjugal love is represented by Srimati Radharani. Therefore, in the pastime of Radha and Krishna, we can see that Krishna is always subjugated by Srimati Radharani's influence. Right? So that's then what it's coming to. So even we've gotten to this now, then it will be brought out, then it'll be brought to her, and then, you know, it'll keep going. So that's the point. It'll just go as far as can be discussed. 2889. Ramananda Rai continued, Lord Krishna told the gopis, the means of attaining my favor is loving service unto me. And fortunately, you are all thus engaged. Those living beings who render service unto me are eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world and attain eternal life with knowledge and bliss. Srila Prabhupada. The fulfillment of human life is summarized in this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10:82-44. There are two important words in this verse, bhakti, devotional service, and amritattva, eternal life. The aim of human life is to attain the natural position of eternal life. This eternal life can be achieved only by devotional service, right? Why eternal life? But it's not eternal life because of the material body. It's eternal life because of the soul. So this idea that we want to go with this body and eternally be in this body, is this body so great that we want to be in this body eternally, you know, in heaven? Like that, you know, yeah. So the point is eternal life means it's because it's connected with the soul. So the transcendental position, that's attained eternally, right? And it's spiritual, natural, spiritual concomitants, right? Udriti, Sri Ramananda Samvad. The permanent universe is the creation of yoga maya. Those who want unalloyed loving service to the personality of Godhead must ask for the mercy of yoga maya. Those who want to satisfy their own senses, or those who desire to become one with the impersonal Brahman because of being baffled by the pursuit of sense gratification, worship Mahamaya, or the predominating demigods respectfully. So even the Mayavadis, they do. They worship, you know, Shakti. They have no problem. Means they have that big, that means in the Kamakoti Pitam, right? That's where the Shankarites had to move there when Sringeri was, there was a problem there. So they moved to this Kamakotipita. So then when it moved back, then some stayed there. Or some, you know, some variety of history. And so their main deity there is Durga. You know, I mean, say which particular form it is, but it's they're worshiping Mahamaya. You know, so when we see, we'll be worshiping Yogamaya. Like that. But because we're interested in serving Krishna, but they're interested in liberation. So it's still within, that's another way you can tell it's within the material confines, because they're worshiping Mahamaya, not Yogamaya. The damsels of Braja worship Yogamaya to get the son of king of Braja as their husband or lover, while others within the system of material Varnashram Dharma worship Mahamaya, the superintending deity of the material world, to alleviate distress, right? Either distress by having better facility or distress by getting rid of all facility. There is a gulf of difference between the results of these two varieties of worship, and the attempt to equalize such diametrically opposed activities is like the jaundiced eye seeing everything as yellow, such as the vision of the diseased person in ignorance. So they don't see the difference. They think, oh no, we worship, we'll get the both. They don't understand it's something completely different. So here we see again, we brought it up to this point, and now the acharyas are making it very, very clear that you can't see with material vision this conjugal rasa. Otherwise, if you do, then it'll again, you'll end up back on the material platform. Right, so that we've taken it up like this up to this point, then it's very nice that we can see that analytical and progression. But after this, we have to see it from the transcendental position. Yes? No? Pretty good. Okay, so we'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.